Life is full of adjustments, don't you think? When you think about all that we go through in life and how many times that we've had to adjust and rearrange things in order to kind of push through it. Sometimes those adjustments are planned, sometimes they're not planned, but how we respond to those situations are very important. But there's lots of adjustments in life. I was thinking about just in life in general, growing up. When you're a little baby, that transition from baby to infant or toddler, there's a big transition that takes place from being fed to being able to feed yourself, from being clothed all the time to being able to put your own clothes on. And, you know, we all know the big transition, diapers and no diapers. Those are awesome things that your kids move into, and we celebrate and rejoice over that we don't have to do that anymore. I know after our fourth child, after all that was done, and it was like, no more, we don't want to do that again, we don't want to do that again. Of course, Carrie's job now is to change 10 diapers times 4 a day, so that's 40 diapers a day, and we just have an assembly line, and it's all done. But anyways, those transitions in life. So when your kids are growing up, or even when you think of going into college, that's a transition some of our kids are going. We just had a party for Drew, or I shouldn't say we. His family just had a party for Drew, who's graduating, and that transition from a high school kid to a college kid, going to different colleges, there's a big transition. If you're pretty sheltered at home and you go to a big university, you're going to be woken up very quickly at what takes place there. And the same can happen in a Christian college setting as well. It's a big transition. Then transitioning into a job. You know, we have a number of couples that have moved here just recently within the last couple of years that they just went to college and they just got married and now this is their first location and their first job. That's a big transition. And especially coming to a city that you're not used to or from a different part of the country that you're not used to. Big transition. Then having your child, or maybe another transition is staying single when all your friends are getting married, and that's a transition where you used to hang out together. Now those things have changed, and so you make a transition and an adjustment there as well. If you have children, then you go through all those stages that you experience yourself, through that baby, from babies to toddlers, and then the teenage years to graduation. I know my brother and sister-in-law, they had 5 boys, and and they were awesome mom and dad. And when that last boy, Joshua, left, my sister-in-law really had a hard time. You would think that, I mean, they would feed like 5-pound bags of potatoes and 2 things of milk a day is what they would go through for those 5 big boys. And they're all big boys. And then you would think that she would just, that would be great, but now she kind of lost her sense of purpose once that last one went home. Adjustments needed to be made in that. Then you go through other things in life, financial crises or financial problems, sometimes medical problems. You got to make adjustments in order to respond to those. And then later in life, a loss of a parent, loss of a spouse, even in aging. I find myself making adjustments. I'm still trying to play softball 2 times a week, and I have to make an adjustment because my joints don't adjust very well anymore. And it's frustrating because then you get these smart aleck young bucks that think they're better than you. And maybe 25 years I could compete with them, but in your mind you still compete, but you're 51 years old. That doesn't work anymore like it used to. And so you got to make the adjustment. So now I'm the crusty old wily veteran that sneaks in, limps to first base or whatever it might be. Anyway, those are all adjustments that we make in life. And really, your life is defined by how well you do that. If you have a hard time making those adjustments, you can struggle. But if you can push through it and make those adjustments, you can make the most out of life that you have. Life is a bunch of adjustments. You know, there's other adjustments that are very important as well. I think of different things in life, like for athletics, for instance. You got to make adjustments in the middle of a game. So if you're a football coach and your team, you plan during the week about how you're going to approach that, but in the game things change. You got to make an adjustment if you're going to win that game. Same way with basketball, same way with baseball. If the pitcher is throwing something unusual, the batter's got to make an adjustment. So it happens in athletics. It happens in business. If you don't make adjustments in business, you're going to lose out. How many remember ordering things from Montgomery Ward's, right? Montgomery Ward's and Sears Roebuck Catalog. We used to grow up with that. My grandma used to grow up with that. That was a very important thing that they ordered items from. It's also a very important thing because they used it for toilet paper back in my grandma's day. My grandma told me about that. He says, we use that for toilet. I said, you did? Yeah. And then she said, my grandma, you just have to know her. She was witty and quick, and she said, and then when we got to the shiny pages, we needed to get a new catalog. That's what she said. But now the Montgomery Wards, they didn't make the adjustment of retail, big box retail, and that blew them out of the water. So if a business doesn't make an adjustment, you'll find that with, how many, remember what the big hot computer was? With the cow boxes. What was that? Dell. Gateway computer, excuse me. Dell is also the same way, right? They didn't make the adjustments and they get blown out of the water. So you got to make adjustments in business as well. And even churches need to make adjustments. When I was at Bible college, I used to travel around the country with a singing team to raise money and update the churches, supporting churches about how the college was doing. And man, sometimes you'd walk into that building and it hadn't changed since 1893. They didn't make that adjustment. It even smelled like 1893 when you walked in. But you get used to something that's yours. It's kind of like our houses. We get used to the hole in the wall or the old outdated carpet. It's fine for us because we live there, but the culture around them changed, and so it puts them behind the thing. So churches need to make adjustments as well. Life is about adjustments, and the same is true in our relationship with God. We're in this series called Experiencing God, the seven realities of how to experience God in our life. And we're on the sixth reality today, which is all about adjustments. Let me remind you where we've been. The first reality that we talked about a few weeks ago was this, that God is always at work around us, that he has a plan that's unfolding throughout life, and he's moving it towards that plan, and that's to reconcile and restore a lost, broken world and put Jesus back on the throne where he belongs. Ultimately, that's where all things are moving, and life is moving towards that direction. He's working all around us. The second reality is this, that God pursues a continuing love relationship with us that is real and personal. That part of that plan is that he wants to relate with his people. That's why he created the earth. That's why he created us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be in an intimate relationship with us so that we know his will and that we can see where he's working. We can't see where he's working if we don't have a relationship with God. So the second reality is that he wants to pursue that, and then we need to respond. The third reality is that God invites us to be involved with him in his work that he wants us to do. Again, that's why he created it. We get to participate with God with redeeming and restoring this lost, broken world. And how do we know where to get involved? And how do we know what assignment God gives to us? And that's number four, that God speaks to us by his Holy Spirit through the Bible and prayer and circumstances and the church to reveal himself and his purposes and his ways. As we seek where God is working and we have a closer relationship with him, then we start to kind of sense, okay, God, where are you working in my life? Where are you working in my neighborhood? Where are you working in our church? We want to join you because we know that you're already at work, and where you're working, things always get done. And so we want to join that. And so where are you working? And so we look to the scriptures, we look to others to find out kind of where God is guiding us so that we can find him and then join him to accomplish the things that he wants to do. Now, the fifth thing that we talked about last week is then once we understand that God's inviting and where he's inviting us to, there's always a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. That crisis of belief is, do we trust in what God says? Do we trust that he's asked us to do something? Do we trust that he will do that? There's always a crisis of faith that we go through. We do that with anything. When we read something in the Bible that says, love your enemy, for instance, there's a crisis. How can I do that, Lord? Well, that's what it says that we should do. Do you trust God enough to help you love your enemy? Or do you ignore that? Crisis of belief. And that brings us to the sixth reality is this. Once we go through that crisis of belief and we say, okay, Lord, we believe you, now we need to make adjustments. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he's doing. We need to rearrange things in our life to make sure that we go in the direction that he wants us to go or to even accomplish what he asks us to do. And so we're going to talk about those kinds of adjustments today as we take a look at this sixth reality. So here's the truth about making adjustments in our life. The first truth is this, that I cannot stay where I am and go with God. I cannot stay where I am and go with God. We have this idea that when we kind of surrender ourselves to him, that God will let us do whatever we want to do because he loves us. That's what a loving father would do, right? Let you do whatever you want to do. And that we don't have to make changes in our life. But that's not true. When we surrender ourselves to him, that we need to kind of line up with his purpose and values and meaning and all that stuff. That's major adjustment. And we can't go forward without doing that. We can't do the, you know, keep everything just for ourselves and just do a little thing for God. Everything needs to move along. And I'm gonna read an example out of this. We're gonna look at Matthew chapter 4 today, and we're gonna look at Jesus starting out on his ministry. And as he calls people to join him in his ministry and some of the things he do, you'll see that these adjustments need to be made as we join him in his work. So this first idea, I cannot stay where I am and go with God. Matthew 4, verse 12 through 17 says this. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, that's John the Baptist, he withdrew to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And he did that to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has been dawned. From that time on, so that's a quote that came out of the Old Testament, that was a promise that a great light would come in this area. And it was talking about Messiah, that the one that was going to come and save people would come and shine light in the world. So it's Jesus is in this very region that the Old Testament had prophesied about. So he's beginning his ministry of shining light into the world. Verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That word repent, you could circle that if it's not. I think I might have highlighted it in your notes if you're following along there. That word repent. Repent basically means to make an adjustment in your life. The word means to do a U-turn, to stop going the opposite direction. It's a change of heart or a change of mind. But visually, it's that you're walking in this direction, you realize you're going in the wrong direction, and you turn around, and then you come back into this direction. It's literally an adjustment. It's literally a U-turn. When you realize then that repentance means that you make this adjustment in your life. It means that you were moving in the opposite direction of God and that you lived your life for your values and your priorities. But when you realize of your made mistake, and we call that mistake, the Bible calls it sin or rebellion, you stop and turn and now you reorient your life towards God. And it means to feel bad for the direction that you were going. There's a sense of guilt and a sense of shame about it. But it also means that you reorient everything, your mind and your heart, to focus on what pleases God. In Acts 3, verse 19, I think that verse captures it really well. It says, repent then, and then turn to God. So repent, turn around, and start focusing your attention on God, so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. We need to make that turn in order to receive salvation in our life, and for all that stuff to be forgiven in our life. But repentance is more than feeling sorry. You also need to make changes. In Acts 26, verse 20, it says, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. You got to make changes in your life. You cannot stay the same where you were before you found God and then continue forward in following him. You got to make adjustments in your life. And that's the hard part, especially in our culture. It's hard for them to understand that change, that you need to change where you're at. Now, God does love us, and God does forgive us, and God does not, when we come to our Father in heaven, he does not condemn us. Jesus does not condemn. He always wants to save. But he also asks us to make those changes in our life. He says, don't do that anymore. When he was talking to the woman caught in adultery, he says, I don't condemn you, but don't do that anymore. That's causing problems in your life. Just because God doesn't condemn us in that way doesn't mean that we're allowed to continue to live that way. That's what's hurting us. And so he wants to change that in our life. We are to be a new kind of person. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. And that old is gone. The new is here. You're to be a different person. You're to make adjustments in your life and start lining yourself up with who God is and where he is at in life. One commentator writes that person is a new creation. It says it refers to the radical reorientation of life that comes through regeneration. That's what happens when we're saved. He starts to regenerate our life from the inside out. When a person becomes a Christian, God totally restructures their life, altering its whole fabric, thinking and feeling and willing and acting. And this new creation, however, understood, one set of conditions or relationships has passed out of existence and a new set has come to stay. There's a change that takes place. There's an adjustment that takes place. And this is a lifelong adjustment. It doesn't happen just overnight. I wish it did. I wish we went from nothing to beautiful in one day, but that it's a lifelong process. Another verse talks about that in Philippians 2, verse 12 through 13. Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence," he says, "continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Continue to work. I thought we were saved by grace. Well, we are saved by grace, and we have to be careful about how we translate it. He says, continue to work it out, not to work for your salvation, but to work out your salvation. Once you're saved, now you got to act like it. Now you got to live like it. In salvation, God pronounces us righteous. We are now right in God's eyes. Now start acting like it. He pronounces us. Now we got to do that. Sometimes we, you know, we, like we talk, we act what we believe. If you, so when he challenges us to do, that's what we, for. That's how we work it out in our life. And that's a daily process. We're going to take, we're going to have a good day and we're going to have bad days. We're going to have more good days and we're going to have some bad days. As long as we're continually working to be what God wants us to be, that's going to happen all throughout life. We never, ever arrive. And I think that that's helpful for us to understand that, especially if you're dealing with some frustration in your life and you're thinking like, man, you know, I should be here, but I'm right here. That's all right. Keep, now just make another step to here. And make another step here, and make another. Keep moving towards that direction. It's a lifelong process of adjustments. I'm a work in progress. Just ask my wife. She says I'm a piece of work, is what she usually says. I'm a piece of work. I say I'm a work in progress. Okay. And throughout life, God like puts you on an anvil, and you don't even remember what anvils are anymore. Us old timers, and I classify myself as that now. An anvil is a real, it's a piece of railroad tie is what we used to use on our farm, but it's where you pound out the imperfections out of a piece of metal. And God does that in our life, throughout our life. He chips away and turns us into a tool that can be used for his glory. But that's a long process, and it's a lot of adjustments. And it's hard. A lot of people love to turn their life over to the Lord, but then they have a hard time following him because change is awfully hard. You know that. Change is very hard. I was at a pastor's retreat, or pastor's meeting, and there was a Christian psychologist is there, and he was talking about how hard it is for change. And you can live in a very, very dysfunctional family that's just blown apart by its dysfunction. And when one person surrenders their life to Jesus and they go back home, that person is, it's like a they start, because they disrupted what they've known, that there's a lot of tension, a lot of struggle there. And a lot of times these people go back to that way of life because they can't make that change, because that's all they know. They would rather live in dysfunction than to change, because the change is so uncomfortable. And so those are the adjustments that we need to make. And we can't go with God and stay the same. We gotta continue to grow. That's one of the first things that you need to understand about making adjustments in life. Now, the second truth is that God expects major adjustments in every area of my life. Every area. Look at these examples going back to Matthew 4. It says, as Jesus was walking, this is Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. Now going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Here we see that God is working in the life of Jesus. And he has an assignment for these four men that he comes across as he's walking along the shoreline, that they're going to join him to fish for people, that they're going to join him in his worldwide mission of changing the world in Jesus' name. Now, note how Peter and Andrew adjusted to Jesus' call in their life. They left their livelihood. They left their, I don't know if that was their passion, but this was their job. So they left their job in order to follow Jesus. And note James and John, not only did they leave their job, but they left their father. Their father, and it's emphasized that this was Zebedee, sons of Zebedee. They left their father's business. And they both left immediately. Now, there was something about Jesus that caused them to drop everything they were doing to follow him. And because God loves you, his will is always for your best. And any adjustments that God expects you to make is always for the long run, for the good, for your good. It's going to help you become a better person or develop your character or to kind of file in on where his purpose is. It always is. When he asks you to make adjustments, it's always for your good. At the time, it might seem hard. For the time, it might not be your personal preference, but it's always for your good when you know that God's asking you to do that. And so you adjust your life to God. And you have to adjust lots of different areas. And we talked about livelihood, but there's lots of different areas that we need to adjust. You adjust your whole life to him. You adjust your viewpoints to be like his. You adjust your ways to be like his ways. In Colossians 3, verse 1 through 5, it says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You set your hearts in things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind in things above, not in earthly things, for you died to that, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." That passage is all about making adjustments. You need to change. And you need to set your focus on what God wants you to do in your life. Those are major adjustments that we all need to make. And notice he says, put it to death. Get rid of it. You died to that old way of life. You don't live like that any longer. And this is how he wants you to live. So there's lots of adjustments. What kind of adjustments do you make? There's a variety of them. First, you need to make adjustments in your circumstance. And circumstances includes maybe your job, or your home, or your finances, those kinds of things. You make adjustments in those things. If a job is, maybe if somebody at work is challenging you to do something that's unethical, you might have to decide to do a different job, even if it's a high-paying job. You need to make a switch there. Or a home, or finance, whatever it might be, those circumstances you find yourself in, you need to make adjustments. You might have to make adjustments in your relationships, in your family, in your friends, in your business associates. If you have friends that drag you down or pull you away or cause you to be tempted, that could be male friends or it could be girlfriends or boyfriends, whatever, those kinds of friends that drag you down, you might have to make an adjustment in that relationship. Sometimes it's even within your own family. The disciples here left their dad's business to follow the Lord. Sometimes this is really crazy to say, but sometimes our parents hold us back from following the Lord. Now, don't be disobedient to your parents. I'm not saying that. But they can. And you have to make that choice. When you're an adult, you'll make that choice. But that's an adjustment that you have to make. Now, you honor your parents and you respect your parents. But when it comes to following Jesus, sometimes we have to make that adjustment. In my thinking, we got to change, make an adjustment. In our prejudices, in our methods, in our potential, how we think about ourselves, those kinds of adjustments need to take place in our life. In my commitment to my family, and to my church, or to my job, or to my plans, or my traditions, all those things. Even my commitment to my hobbies. They need to be adjusted to line up with what God wants you to do. In my actions, for instance, how I pray, how I give, how I serve. Those are all adjustments that we need to make. Or even in my beliefs about God and his purposes, his ways, and my relationships to him. Morality, habits, all those areas, every area of your life. Every area of your life, you need to make an adjustment to line up with where God wants you to be. And those are some major adjustments, and they're very hard to make. I think of a couple different examples. A friend of mine's named Steve, and Steve was a member of a church that I recently served. Now, he was not there when I served there. He was there right before I went to this church. And Steve worked at IBM here in Rochester, and he had a great job at IBM. But he'd go on a mission trip down to Cookston Hills, which is a home for kids that maybe don't have their parents, or it's a children's home. And then people go down and live in homes and become basically their foster parents. They live with the kids on this ranch, and they take care of the kids there. And he went down many years to do that, and he just fell in love with that ministry that he gave up his job at IBM, a very good paying job, and went down there to take over that role down there as one of the leaders of that ministry. That's a big deal. A big deal to make those kinds of changes. Sometimes God will ask you to change your jobs. I've told you hundreds of times that my goal was to be a football coach and a teacher. That's what I went to college for, and that's my passion was sports, and I love coaching and I love football. But God changed that, and when he grabbed my heart and gave me, when he called me to be a part of what he was doing in the world, I need to make an adjustment in my career goals. And now I just coach you a little bit. I should yell and scream more, but I'm not an old-fashioned coach. I'm a modern, whatever. But that's a big change. That was a big adjustment for me. Just go ask my friends. Every time they look at me, they laugh. I can't believe it, Aaron, they say. I can't believe it. But that's a major adjustment. Sometimes it's changing your jobs. The other adjustment is sometimes it's changing something that we believe or something that we hold inside. We're looking at getting a new sound system. Our sound system is kind of busted up a little bit, and so we're borrowing one here. And so I went down to Avalon Music downtown and talked with Steve. Steve's an awesome guy. And I was talking, every time I go in there, I talk with him, and he just recently lost his mom, and he's been dealing with that as an executor of her. She lived in Ohio, and so I was talking with him a little bit about that. And then we were talking about, a few months ago, we were talking about that he was looking at the Rochester Medical, the DMC, the Medical Center, Destination Medical Center. And he went to some of the meetings, and he noticed that his building was not, they had plans, and his building was not there. They hadn't asked him about that, but evidently the plans were to kind of build around this area, and his building was not there. And so I asked him what he thought about that. So that was a few months ago. So this just happened last week. I went in and talked with him in order, and I said, so he said, where are you at with your building? He goes, I'm going to be selling the building. I said, you are? He said, yeah. I said, are they going to knock it down? He goes, they can't. I said, what? He says, this is a National Historic Building. It was the hotel I don't know if it's the only place, but it was the hotel that black people could stay at in Rochester. That was the hotel that they were allowed to stay at. That was called the Avalon. And at one time it had 40 rooms in that building. If you know where that building is, right in the corner of Civic Center Drive, and it's right there. I think that's right. Yeah, it's called Avalon Music there. But that used to be the hotel for African Americans to stay at. And so it's a national, and so they can't knock it down. And when you look in there, it's still got the old copper ceiling inside. I didn't notice it before until he told me that. It's got four levels. It's got a basement and then three stories in there. And yet, I just can't help and think about how we treat people. And it's just shameful what people do and the prejudices that they hold. And it's not only here, it's all over the world. Carrie and I just watched Slumdog Millionaire, which takes place in India. It's an awesome movie. Highly recommend the movie. But the prejudice in that country as well with the caste systems and how a lower person, just simply because they're born in poverty, were treated like less than human. Why do we do that as human beings? I don't understand that. I thank God that I grew up in a family that didn't think that way and didn't have those deep-seated beliefs and that another person is less than you because of the way they look. And I don't understand that. And as a Christ follower, there is absolutely no room for that. Absolutely none. I don't care. If there is. If there was something like that, I'd boot you out. I just think it's just crazy to even think that way. Because those adjustments need to be made. In Colossians 3, verse 11, Paul says, here there is no Gentiles or Jews, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. It is a transformation that takes place. There's an adjustment that takes place when Christ comes into our life. And now we look at people differently. And we look at them with the eyes of Christ, that we are all one in Jesus. And we actually form, in another passage, a new race of people. And we're not identified by our color, by our gender, by our sexuality. We are identified by being in Christ. That's where our identity comes from. All that other stuff is made up stuff. We don't find value in any of that. We find value in how God's created us. And he's created us in Jesus. So we have to change our belief and make adjustments in every area of our life. The third truth is this, that adjusting my life to God is well worth the cost. In Matthew 4, verse 23 through 25, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. And large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and the region across the Jordan followed him. You know, Jesus' disciples were able to witness some spectacular miracles. And they got to witness firsthand the invasion of God's kingdom reign in the world as Jesus slowly started to put the world back right again. Every one of his miracles is his kingdom reign, where he comes and changes what's happened in the world. So illnesses are, a person is restored to wholeness. Illnesses are gone. Demon possession, demons ran at the sight of Jesus because they knew who he was. And that's the invasion of God's kingdom in the world. And his disciples got not only to see that, but they got to be a part of that mission of restoring that broken world once again. Now just think, if they would have said no, they would have missed out on spending time with the Messiah, the one that was going to come and save the world. And they would have missed out on joining him on that mission of changing the world. When I think of that, I always think of this, that remember that God loves you and he wants the utmost best for your life. And when he challenges you to make these adjustments in your life, it's for your benefit. And you have to trust him with that. And remember last week we talked about the crisis of belief, that will God do what he says that he will do? And we have to we get to that point and say, okay, Lord, then we trust you. And then the Bible says that God cannot tell us a lie, that it's out of his character. And so when he says that this is what I want you to do, it will always happen. When we know for certain that this comes from God, and that's why we need to have people around us to make sure that we understand that God's speaking to us. But when God speaks to us, that means it will happen. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to mislead us. And then we have to trust him with that and step out in faith. So when we know that he gives us this assignment, and we make the necessary adjustments, we get to participate in something incredible. That's life change. We get to help people change their lives. And there's nothing more exciting than that. In Ephesians 3, verse 10 through 11, the Apostle Paul writes, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are the church, and he's the one that has appointed us to join him on this work in order to make a difference in the world. Not only to make a difference, but to change the world and to restore it back to the way that God originally had planned. And that's our mission, that's our goal, that's our whatever it is that you are seeking in life, that's what it is. And then you have to make adjustments in order to follow that plan in your life. Now, it could mean that you stay at your job and do that. It could mean that you might have to change your job and do that. It could mean that you have to get a different degree to do that, whatever that might be. But that is our purpose. We are here to share the manifold wisdom of God with the world around us. That's what grabbed my heart. That's what grabbed my attention when I went from a football coach that's teaching a bunch of kids a game to beat up on each other. And it's awesome to do that, by the way, legally. There's nothing like getting crunched a little bit. There's nothing like crunching somebody else a little bit. Till you've done it, you don't know what that feels like. But then it hurts once in a while too, and that's no fun. But that's a game. That's a game. Let's think of the billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, maybe $1 trillion that we put into that game. $1 billion stadiums that bring in lots of resources. Lots of jobs too. But for a game. Or you can join the worldwide movement of God and transform a person's heart for eternity. Now compare that to what you do. There's nothing like the enterprise of the church. There's nothing like the mission of the church. And God has chosen us to be a part of that, and we just need to make an adjustment to join him to do so. And what we have in our minds, he could blow away with what if we would just be open enough and open up our lives to him and then just obey wherever he asks us to go. Because when the disciples did that, it says they turned the world upside down. Later on in Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul says, now to him who is able to do, he said, do immeasurably more than we all can imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And it's to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. He will do even more if we just open up our life and make the adjustment and step out and follow him. He can do some pretty incredible things. And that's why I get fired up, and that's why I stand before you as a preacher. It's because of what God can do through His church. It's what God can do through you individually, to your neighbors and to your friends and to your family. That's the potential if we make those adjustments in life. The bottom line is this. The first turning point in your life is knowing and doing the will of God, was this crisis of belief. You must believe God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says that He will do. Adjusting your life to God is the second critical turning point. If you choose to make these adjustments and go, you can step forward in obedience, which we'll talk about next week. Now, change is uncomfortable. Making adjustments is going to challenge you. But if you do make those adjustments, you're going to miss, if you don't make those adjustments, you're going to miss out on God's blessing in your life. Jesus was known to gather large crowds around Him, but He also could read their minds, and He knew when it was time to kind of step it up a little bit or ratchet it up a little bit. Ratchet it means you tighten something, you're putting the pressure on. In this particular moment, He was doing some hard teaching, and some of the people that were listening to Him had a hard time understanding it, and they had a hard time following it. And then it says this in John 6, verse 66 through 68. It says, from this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. He was asking them to make too many adjustments in their life. And then He turns to His 12 disciples and says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've come to believe and to know that You are the Holy One of God. Peter realized that this is it. There is nowhere else to go in order to join and to be a part of what God has in store for you. There's nowhere else to go. And they realized that it was who was asking them was God, was Jesus. It's a hard line for you to understand. Are you willing to take that step and make that adjustment? The ultimate is to surrender your life to Him. But the other is making those adjustments in your own life that you got to get rid of, that are causing a distance from you and God. But later on in Jesus' teaching, He wanted to reassure those that made those adjustments of the benefit of doing so. In Matthew 19, verse 29, He says, and everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for My sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. It's worth it. It's well worth the cost, because we get to be a part of what God is doing, and God always accomplishes what He sets out to do. In some way down the road, the world will be restored and we will be with Him forever. And that's our hope. That's what we focus in on in life. And we get to be a part of that, not only individually, but also as a church, if we make those adjustments that are necessary to do so. I want to close with sharing in communion today. And I want you to know that Jesus made adjustments too. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Now, there's no evidence that Jesus was any poorer than any first century Palestinian. Rather, Jesus became poor by giving up His rights as God and becoming human. In His incarnation, the fancy Bible or theology term, theological term that we use for God becoming flesh or in becoming a man, God voluntarily became a man in the person of Jesus. And as a man, Jesus was subject to place and time and other human limitations. And He did not give up eternal power when He became a human, but He did set aside His glory and His rights. In response to the Father's will, He limited His power and knowledge. And Christ became poor when He became human because He set aside so much. Yet by doing so, He made us rich because we received eternal life and salvation because of what He accomplished. Jesus made adjustments in His life to provide the way that we could be reconciled to God and be made right with Him. And as we share in the Lord's Supper today, I would like for you to remember what Jesus gave up so that we could be saved by our sins, the adjustments that He made in His life. Think about what God has done for you. And then think about the adjustments that you need to make in your own life to line up with His will and His way. And ask God to help you do so. He doesn't want you to miss out on what He has planned for your life. Let's pray, and then we'll share in communion together. You can eat the bread as it's passed and think about Jesus' body that was bruised and beaten and tortured for you. And as the juice is passed, you can drink that and remember the blood shed as it represents sacrifice for you. And then there's also a portion, if you are gluten-free, there's little wafers in the little small containers there that are gluten-free that you're welcome to eat that as well and to remember these things. But let's do so as we pray, and then let's remember the adjustments that we need to make in our life. Lord, I know I'm too comfortable with life as usual, and forgive me, and forgive us. You've given us an assignment that is God-sized. In order to accomplish that, Lord, I must have faith to make the adjustments you require in my life, and so I ask you that you show me how to do that. I am willing. You may change my circumstances, you may change my relationships, you may change my thinking, you may change my commitments or priorities or my actions or even my beliefs, Lord. But you may change me in order to line me up to where you want to be. Change whatever is necessary to carry out your assignment. And Lord, we say this prayer, as I say it for all of us, that we surrender to you. We depend entirely on you. We want to think your thoughts. We want to act your way, and we want to focus on you. So help us, Lord, and meet us now as we remember the adjustments you made in your life and the adjustments that we need to make in our own. I pray this in your name. Amen.